This is Mitchell Dye with Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
Broadcasting live from Colac, an action-packed morning this morning on 94.7 The Pulse. With me now is James Taylor, Associate Editor of the Surf Coast Times newspaper. James, how are you?
Good morning, Mitchell. How are you finding Colac this morning?
Oh, it's beautiful this morning. We've had patches of sun, rainbows, sun showers, and just rain. So all the seasons. If you like rain, there's something for you. If you like sun, there's something for you as well.
That's fantastic. Seeing as you're in that part of the world, can you do me a favour?
Yeah.
Can you go around the corner and see if Sarah Henderson still has her office in Colac?
I was told she closed it down apparently about 2 weeks after the final redistribution was announced. But you know what? I might go on a little bit of a tour around here and see if I can see anything.
Yeah, because I remember asking her at the time. She opened the office in Colac and made a fairly large announcement about it, about having representation in the far west of the electorate. I guess that's a good thing. But this was all done in the midst of the review into the boundaries of the electorate itself. So I asked her at the time, isn't this a little bit premature, Sarah, opening the office? And I said, oh, no, it'll be great. It'll be great for everyone. I'm just wondering if the office is itself started, because I think, as you mentioned earlier in your program, Corangamite still exists that far out. So I wondered if Sarah is hanging on to the absolute last minute, or if she's seen the writing on the wall and thought, well, these people won't be voting for me in the coming federation, whenever they get around to having it, I may as well close the office.
And I understand as well that even after the redistribution, the western boundary is actually not that far out of Colac. So it's just moved a little bit, like excluding the whole township and where people actually live. But if you go driving, I think within 5K, you're probably back in Corangamite again, yeah?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, it excludes certainly the built-up area, the suburban area of Colac, but it stops a little way to the east from there. So I'm not sure if Sarah might be interested in opening an office in the next biggest town along, which I guess would be next biggest town. Maybe probably I'm not sure. I haven't gone that far out very often. Obviously, there's no point in her opening an office in Winchelsea because her main electorate office is in Warm Ponds.
Yeah,
and Winchelsea to Warm Ponds is only about half an hour.
Yeah, yeah. Now, why I wrote barriers, we were talking to Richard Reardon about that, and I was coming down the Princes Highway, and it was downright dangerous in a couple of places just because the truck had stopped on the side of the road, but there didn't seem to be much room for the driver to actually get out of the truck and have clearance when there's cars going past at 100 kilometres an hour.
Yeah, I know this is an issue that has raised its head again and again. And I think most recently down a little bit closer to me here in on Anglesey Road. Darren Cheatham is the South Barwon MP, and it still freaks me out every time I say that, because I've been saying Andrew Catesby for such a long time. But Darren is now the MP for South Barwon. Yeah. I don't really should get over that. He announced the end of works along about 25 km of road, I think, between Warm Ponds and Anglesey along Anglesey Road. Putting in wire barriers and making the separation between the lines a little slightly wider, and also lowering the speed limit to 80 kilometres an hour. And that's caused a little bit of angst on social media, to be honest. And the general tenor of the comments is, I don't want to be driving slow because people drive slow anyway.
Yeah.
And this really annoys me. But as the people from, and I shouldn't say Vic Roads, because it's now Regional Roads Victoria for pretty much all of the road projects outside of Melbourne. So call it Vic Roads Regional, if you like, whatever works for you.
Yeah.
But they've told me that since they've completed the work, they've already had somebody run into the barriers already. So I guess they're doing their job. And one of the comments I saw this morning that they kind of found partially amusing and partially distressing was, I don't really care if someone driving on a country road runs off the road and crashes into a tree because they were concentrating. I guess the thing for Regional Roads Victoria as well, the reason why we have the wire right there is that if you happen to run off the road, instead of running into a tree, you actually run into the wire right barriers, and sure, it might mess up the front of your car, but you'll still be alive.
Yeah, where a tree would kill you if you're going at it at any speed.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So it's interesting the way that people's perception to road safety works varies depending on how much hurry they are happy to be in.
That's very true, actually. Yes. So how's the campaign trail been? I no doubt imagine you've been following Sarah and Libby around a bit. And I tell you what, listening to both of them on the program this morning, it's full on, each one of them using every single second of airtime they could possibly grab to talk about what they wanted to do for Corangamite. And I think it's important for the listeners to know what each party is doing so that they can make that informed choice on election day. But how have you found Canada. I mean, yes, there hasn't been an election date called, but for all intents and purposes, we seem to be in the middle of an election campaign.
Yeah, I know someone, I think it might have been Catherine Murphy from The Guardian, described it as a Clinton election campaign. That is the election campaign you're having when you're not having an election campaign.
Yeah.
But I find it interesting that suddenly the arbitrary date for this shadow election campaign happened to be yesterday, because that's when everyone expected that the Prime Minister would be called in the election. When, to be honest, I would argue that the election campaign has been going on since we've been having these pre-budget announcements, because the budget was always going to be an election budget. There are always going to be certain things in the budget that were geared purely towards getting voters to lean towards the Liberal Party, and obviously the opposition's budget will fly a response and its commitments to Medicare were the exact opposite of that. They're having people voting for the Labor Party. So I would say the election campaign has been going on at least since we had Prime Minister's announcement of $2 billion towards fast rail at Geelong Station in late March, if not earlier to that. I know that Sarah had been making a few pre-budget announcements. You know, this is going to be in the budget. This is a budgeted commitment. This is something I'm delivering. It's locked in money. All you've got to do is vote for us, and it's definitely going to be in the budget. So I would argue this election campaign has been going on for at least a month, if not longer.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, possibly even since the start of the year. And you're right to also point out that the budget really wasn't that surprising, because we already heard about things like the duplication of the railway and potential funding for fast rail.
Yeah, when you have nearly $3 billion of rail commitments announced before the budget, and the budget comes out the better part of a week later, it's like, well, that's fantastic. I'm sure it's very welcome to have that money. And that seems to be the general response to everybody. They say, well, nearly $3 billion to fix rail services. You could argue that when the money might happen to be delivered in which financial year, whether it's going to be enough, as various people are already doing and continue to do. But it's still $3 billion of money that's not going to be a surprise to people when they open up their newspapers the next day and happen to go through the data. Oh, I already knew about this.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything even close to that caliber hiding in the pages for Corangamite or Corai or any of the other surrounding federal electorate. It was clearly the headline figure, and we all knew about it as the treasurer stepped up to the microphone and delivered the budget. So it's a little bit underwhelming in that sense.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll see what happens from here. I'm sorry to cut you a bit short, but is there something to leave us with? And we'll give you more time when we're on next fortnight down at Apollo Bay.
Yeah, one from down here in Torquay. The Torquay Humanity House have a tutoring program for grade 5 and 6 students called Young Wolves. That's wolves as in the hunting animal of many, many years. They're actually on the lookout for a few more tutors so they can keep their program running all the way through the year. It's a very useful program. They just basically tutor grade 5 and 6 and literacy and numeracy and help them brush up with the basics, but they'd like a little bit more help. Mm. So we're giving them a little bit of push along, because in these times where everyone's talking about education, to have as much of it as you can is definitely a good thing.
Absolutely. James, thanks for being on the program. We'll catch up in a fortnight.
Thanks, Mitchell.
Thank you very much, James Taylor there from the Surf Coast Times. After the break, we've got some live music to wrap up from down here at Colac this morning. That's next on The Pulse.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.